Before we go to our readings, an announcement. Wes Pickering is in Kuwait now, preparing to go into Iraq. And if you decide to write him a letter, be sure and write not to Lance Corporal, but to Corporal Wesley Pickering. He's had a promotion.
The lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at verse 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more.
Thank you, Bob. One of my favorite readings. I say that almost every week. One of my favorite readings. Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of John. At this point in the Gospel of John, the turmoil has begun. We are coming very close to the Last Supper, Jesus' arrest, trial, and execution. And he is now in Jerusalem. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and whoever, where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So it was that even Greeks started coming to Jesus. There he was in Jerusalem, and his reputation had spread so far and wide that even non-Jews were starting to approach him and trying to learn more. And Jesus knew full well, with the attention of the whole world starting to come toward him, that pretty soon the intentions of the powers that be would take over. And he knew it was nearly time. And he says right in our reading today, what am I going to do about this? Am I going to ask God not to follow through? No. That's the whole reason he was here, was to do what had to be done. And he did. And he did. For it was written on his heart that that is what he would do. To go back to that Jeremiah reading, I will write it on their hearts. I will write my law on their hearts. And no more will they have to teach each other. Everyone will know. What a beautiful reading. Think about that, the imagery of that, the the Hebrew poetry of it all, to have something written on your heart by God. What would it be like to have something written on your heart? Well, that would be something that would be, if not forward in your thoughts all the time, underlying your thoughts, no matter where you were, no matter what you did, right? Everywhere you go, you take your heart with you. Boom, boom, boom. If it was written on your heart, it would be a central truth in your life and your world. It's very important to determine what is written on your heart. What is the central truth of your life as you live it? How do you frame everything in your existence? What is written on your heart? I put a link to a webcast on our church's Facebook account. Those of you who have Facebook, I would urge you to follow it, to a radio program called Fresh Air with Terry Gross that aired this past week. She was talking to a Dr. Michael Groden, who is a university professor at Boston University and who also runs the Boston Center for Refugee Health and Human Rights. And Dr. Groden has been dealing with Tibetan monks and nuns who have been tortured by those wonderful Chinese. The Tibetan monks and nuns that have been brutalized and who now, when they go to meditate, which is the central part of their faith existence, they found their peace has been completely robbed, and many are unable to meditate, unable to follow through in their faith because of what has been carved on their hearts and their minds. The story is both harrowing and beautifully inspiring of Dr. Groden's work. And he talks in part about the human heart, not the beating muscle, but the heart. And that's what I want to speak with you about. Think about when you were a little kid and you got lost, like at a carnival or a grocery store or a general store or on the street somewhere. Remember that feeling when you were lost? You remember where you felt it? Right in here? Remember that? Or some people as parents have felt the same thing when they see their kid tottering on the edge of disaster of some kind. That, and you feel it right here in your core, in your heart. That is your heart, and primitive people would speak of the heart, and primitive people were quite wise because the human heart is indeed right in here. I'm going to change my microphone as I keep talking to you. The human heart is that thing that carves the most important memories into us. And Dr. Groden was talking about the challenge of treating people from many different backgrounds. And he brought up something that I find just heartbreaking. World War II ended about 60 years ago, right? A little over 60 years ago. Nursing homes are running into a huge problem with survivors of the Holocaust who suffer from dementia, because when they stand in line for food or to see a doctor, or when they are told to be back in their rooms, several of them get the feeling, not just the feeling, but believe it to be the reality, that they're back in the concentration camps. A heartbreaking thing. It's because carved on their hearts is this horror from their past experience, this deep horror. And Dr. Groden is one of the few working with nursing homes on this, trying to find ways to reach people so they don't end up back in the hell that they escaped once before. The same thing is happening with these Tibetan monks. Is they try to meditate, and when they meditate, they try to move back into their own being through their own consciousness, and their own consciousness is so wounded, it has been so violated, that they end up reliving the horror. And it's to the point that they don't want to even tell anyone else about it because they're afraid in their culture, if they speak of a horror, the horror will come out to the hearer and affect them as well. So Dr. Grodin is working with these people with terrible things written on their hearts that tell them terrible things about themselves that aren't true and twist their perception of reality in horrible ways. These are things written on their hearts, indelibly stamped. And there are people in this room right now that this resonates for because they have had things carved on their hearts that affect how they live their lives in this world, affect how they see things, how they relate to other human beings, how loud noises or certain situations or certain forms of human touch affect them, written on their hearts. And this is what God is talking about in the promise of Jeremiah. When God says, I will write on their hearts. And this is what Jesus is talking about when he says, I'm not going to back away from this moment I've been brought to. Because our God and our Savior both know full well the sort of destructive things that can happen to our hearts, our minds, our psyches. And what you have in these readings today is God's self, asserting that no matter the horror, no matter the struggle, no matter how indelible the stamp seems to be, God is saying, you are mine. You are mine. And you are worthy of love, and you are worthwhile, and you are beautiful, and I love you. In Dr. Grodin's work, he tries mightily to help individuals to feel calm and to feel safety. And he makes a point of saying, you know, you can't tell someone they are wrong when it's the vocabulary of their heart, when it's their mind, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you can't just contradict what someone thinks of as reality. What you have to do is listen and hear. What you have to do is to be a presence for them. Our hearts and minds are carved and stained and stamped with all manner of experience and memory. Our lives truly are not our own, but are lived in interaction with each other. And some of those interactions are wonderful and blessed and godly and holy and life-affirming. And some of them are not. And what God told Jeremiah to tell us is hold on. Help is not just coming, but help is already here. It's nothing that I'm going to tell you, but something that deepest of all deep inside you, you already know. Underneath the junk that someone else told you about you, underneath the nasty things that someone else did to you, underneath the stamps of unworthiness and dirtiness and despair that you feel, Underneath all of that is God's truth. And God's truth, God's law, God's justice, God's peace, God's chesed in the Hebrew, God's perfect way that the world should work, is what will sustain you, is what is constantly present, is what will keep you safe. And then Jesus walks among us and feels all that hurt and sees all that injustice and takes on all that stuff. And we talk today of atonement. Atonement doesn't usually work for me. When I think of what Jesus did on that cross, I think of this. I think of God being willing to sink as low as any of us can sink and experience the worst of what we can experience and doing it all just so God can say, I am your companion through it all. It's not that we deserve to suffer and die. It's not that we deserve hell. Many of us have lived it on earth, and it is not ever deserved. But it is that hell is temporary. And those stains on your heart can be washed clean. And the bottom foundation of your life and your love and your heart and your soul and your mind is the love of God that beats within you and will keep you together and as close to whole as you can humanly come. Now that, my friends, is good news. Amen.